Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Yep, he's done it again, folks.
Oh, no, not again. Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the third year in a row.
It's not the first time. It won't be the last.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for staying with us. If you just tuned in, we're glad to have you here, too. Gary Moore is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's one of our investment experts. He's one of the guys that I made a promise to, that if he wouldn't do small business, I wouldn't do investing. And Gary's an old friend of ours, a longtime member of our Brain Trust. And he's the guy who used to work on Wall Street and decided he'd go out on his own. He decided to got a little entrepreneurial sap rose in his bark, and he decided to start his own organization, which he has done very well. He's the author of one of my favorite books, Spiritual Investments, Wall Street Wisdom from the Career of Sir John Templeton, and his new book is called Faithful Finances. He's our good friend Gary. Welcome back to the show.
Great to be back, Jim. I just love your promos.
Well, it's good to have you back.
They're always so humble, Jim.
Well, exactly. That's what they call me, Gary, Mr. Humble.
Jim.
Yeah, that's me.
Love it.
Gary, a while back, well, let me stop for a moment and say that a lot of people are wringing their hands over the deficit.
Yeah.
And over which has grown, yeah, and over the national debt, which continues, yeah, to grow. But, you know, one of the things that you helped us do a long time ago, many years ago, you helped us put things in perspective a little bit. I'll never forget you saying these things when you said, you know, if you're looking at a company, which you kind of need to think of the United States as a business.
You can.
Yeah. Because we do buy and sell, and you know, we have our own, we have an economy. That you said, in effect, you said, you really can't evaluate a company by its debt. You have to look at the relationship, the ratio between debt, the debt that it has, what its obligations are, and what it owns. What are its assets?
Yes.
Now, you and I haven't talked about this for several years, but I know that lately you've been focusing on it a little bit. So, what are your thoughts these days?
Yeah, and it's not just me, Jim. It's other people. We've been discussing the fact that our fellow Brain Trust member, Steve Forbes, and I'm trying to find the article. If you could see my desk, Jim, you know why I can't put my hands on it.
But, I got one of those myself.
Well, just a couple of weeks ago, Jim, in his editorial, Steve said we have to keep the deficit in perspective of, mm-hmm, our one, just like a banker. If you went in to borrow $10,000, he'd want to know what your income is and what your assets are.
Right.
And in essence, we don't
and,
do
and
that.
And what else you owe other people.
Yeah, exactly. And with a total picture, in other words, that's how you put things in perspective and see reality is see the total picture. Now, unfortunately, in America, what we do is we focus exclusively on the liability side. I ask people every time in my seminars for 20 years, what is America's federal debt? And they'll all go, today it's $8 trillion. And I'll go, what's America's assets? And just total silence, okay? I've never found one person who knows. And Steve Forbes, was so grateful to him about 2 weeks ago in his editorial on the front page of Forbes said, you know, we have to keep it in perspective. I've been using the statistic about $100 trillion in assets. Steve used the statistic $160 trillion in assets. Mm-hmm. Now, the difference is what do you call an asset? I will always talk about the value of my home minus the mortgage, my stocks, IRAs, and so on and so on. But I don't always include the public road in front of my house, even though it adds tremendously to the value of my home.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, no one ever includes that. The value today being Good Friday, what about the value of your church? Most people, mm-hmm, have made enormous investments in that, the value,
right,
of Red Cross and so on and so on. That's the independent sector. And if you add it all up And even the value of my son's education, I've got a good investment in him in college right now that's growing every day, by the way. But most of us think
you've got a significant investment. It's not, you don't know whether it's a good one yet, right?
Well, that's the point. That depends on him. But the big picture is we usually classify that as spending, when in reality,
it's investment.
Visualize being a banker, and I got two people come in. One is a high school dropout who has no income or assets. The other guy is a new doctor. Which one gets a loan from you? So the doctor, in essence, has a very valuable asset called education. Mm-hmm. That he can collateralize a loan with. And that's an asset, Jim. So right. I think Steve's, when we get in touch with him, he's been out of the country, but I think Steve's been adding all that up and coming to $160 trillion.
Well, we actually invited him to be on the show today, and we weren't we weren't able to schedule it with him, but we'll get him on real soon, and I'll ask him where he gets that number. We're going to take a quick break. We got more of this kind of stuff coming from Gary Moore right after these messages. 20 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Gary Moore. Gary always has some very inspiring and thought-provoking things to say to us, and we're talking now, folks, about how you should consider, how we should think about the national debt, the deficit, the federal deficit, and you know, Gary, but as Gary's pointing out, putting it in perspective with regard to the entire economic package, the entire financial package of the United States, there are a couple of ways to me, Gary, to look at this. Number one is, even if we do have plenty of assets, to offset our debt and to offset when you've got a government that's spending way more than it should, that's you may have, you know, it sort of reminds me of GM right now. If you think about it, Gary, GM has lots of cash. They can fight bankruptcy a long time, but if they keep bleeding money, you know, eventually that pot's going to run out.
That's correct.
And so the United States has got, we're in pretty darn good financial shape right now. The economy's doing great, still doing well. The government's collecting a lot of money from the success of the economy. But if our politicians keep spending more money than they should, then, you know, eventually there's going to be a day of reckoning, isn't there?
Well, maybe, Jim. And I'm not as concerned about that as I know a lot of my friends are. And I just, even if it's for spiritual reasons of everybody feeling better, I wish we were on a balanced budget. But now let me give you an example. GM is a good example because only yesterday they had this asset called GMAC, the credit company.
Right.
And they just sold it off.
It's been their golden goose.
Yeah, and they just sold it off. In a similar fashion, the United States government owns about half the land west of the Mississippi River. Okay, we have tremendous assets that the government can, what we call, privatize. That's what Margaret Thatcher did back in the Reagan years.
As Gary says, folks, if you fly out west at all, you look down at all this land from 35,000 feet, and there's nobody, you know, for hundreds of miles, and you say, you know, who owns that land? Well, the government owns it.
That's correct. They're holding it in reserve for us to use one of these days, and as the population grows, they'll begin to develop houses on it and so on and so on. More pertinent to you, Jim, is they also own the airwaves. They've been talking, I don't guess they've gotten around to that for years and years and years, about auctioning off the airwaves to the media companies and so on and so on. So they have a lot of assets. And if you add all that up and consider it, one of the things that bothers me, always remember that the world is, in essence, a balance sheet. Life is a balance sheet. For every negative, you can find a good. Sir John actually says it's a 90-10 balance sheet. My mentor, John Templeton, he says for every problem there is, there's nine goods, okay? That's his belief about life. But, for example, if you hear a person say your share of the federal debt is $20,000, immediately say, yes, but I have 4 acres of land in out west, okay? And you'll have a better perspective of life. If you get, let me give you another metaphor. I hold a sheet of paper up, I say to people, what do you see? And they say, I see a sheet of paper. I put a dot in the middle of it, and I say, what do you see? And they say, I see a small dot. The longer you look at that, the more you will only see the dot. But in reality, what's there, Jim, is a big sheet of paper with a small dot.
Well, the other thing,
and what
Gary,
Steve Forbes was in essence saying is we are so focused on the dot,
right,
that we can no longer see the paper of 160 trillion of assets.
Well,
and Jim, I hate to tell listeners, but that's what we call paranoia.
No, exactly. And the media, see, the media get after this kind of thinking because they don't. Most of the media doesn't really understand how the economy works.
Oh,
if you showed me a company right now in the 21st century, if you showed me a company that had no debt,
yep,
especially a smaller business,
yep,
had no debt, I would show you a company that's probably operating too conservatively to survive in the 21st century.
Well, and
that was using debt, that,
yeah,
was borrowing money, that trying to leverage money with reason, with a practical an appropriate strategy,
yeah,
then I would say that company's probably got more of a chance of survival because they're using leverage the right way.
Well, especially in today's world, Jim, Chinese peasants are saving 50% of their incomes. Now, just like my immature clients who aren't real comfortable with capitalism, they'll buy government bonds. They will not buy stocks, however. Okay, so the housing boom in America has largely been financed by the savings of the Chinese peasants.
Yep.
I, on the other hand, when I go abroad, I just checked the other day, I invest in a developing market stock fund. I have averaged over the last 5 years 22% in that developing markets fund.
Hmm.
Okay, now, peasants are getting 5% on U.S. government bonds. I'm making 22%. Do you know the Wall Street Journal just wrote last week that there's been a study by Harvard that if you take a look at that difference in the rates of return on the different forms of capital, Jim, that our trade deficit disappears?
Hmm.
See, the government has no way to measure the rates of return on capital.
Mm-hmm.
Our comparative advantage, theirs is cheap labor. Our comparative advantage, to use an economic term, is that I know how to use capital.
Well, one of the things that I keep asking people, when everyone says Americans aren't saving, are they taking into consideration how much Americans are investing? And,
no,
and I think typically
absolutely
they're not.
No, let's talk about that when we get back.
A little bit. And also we're going to talk about a little bit about Good Friday when we come back after these messages. But maybe in a way that you hadn't thought about. Tim Till, stay with us. We'll be right back with Gary Moore. He's the author of Faithful Finances 101, available wherever books are sold.
No, no. After you've had it, you're in an awful fix.
Welcome back. It's 7 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Take advantage of all the resources there, including my newsletter, including my blog. I hope you'll subscribe to both of those. The blog you can just come and get if you want to, and check it out whenever you can. Gary Moore is our guest. Gary, give us your website, please.
Financialseminary.org.
And can they find out more about your books there?
Yes, they can. And more importantly, Jim, I appreciate you mentioning that. My newsletter this week, what concerns me about all this misperceptions about the economy is that we're growing protectionist in this country. I went down to see my future congressman last week, and he's ready to build a wall around America, and that's not going to be good.
So is Lindsey Graham. So is Chuck Schumer. It reminds me, without having been here in the 1930s, I wasn't alive then, but I did study about it. They're starting to remind me of our government in the early 1930s, Gary, when they passed the Smoot-Hawley tariffs and basically plunged us into a global depression.
Bingo. What I'm doing in this newsletter is putting all of the statistics up front that you don't normally hear, such as Steve is talking about and so on, that basically says we are an economic power beyond most people's imaginations. We hear about manufacturing, for example, and technology has allowed us to produce more without as many workers, Jim, and we think we aren't manufacturing anymore. But the reality is we're manufacturing, but we're doing it with robots and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And
hey, Gary, let me stop you for a second.
Okay.
I was just in Washington, D.C., got back yesterday for Small Business Week.
Yep.
Do you know what many, many of the small business state winners across the country, what many, many of them did for a living?
No.
Manufacturers.
Oh, I don't have
Small business manufacturers are doing okay.
Sure. We
want. The point I made, without realizing that's what you want to talk about, Gary, the point I made in the previous segment before you got here when I was doing some things by myself, was that small business, that manufacturing is not dying in America, it's morphing.
Oh, absolutely.
Look at the automobile industry. The automobile industry is doing great in America. It's just that you're talking about the ones out of Detroit, they're not doing so great. But look at what's happening in South Carolina and Mississippi and Georgia and Texas and Alabama and Tennessee. That industry is doing well.
But did you know even General Motors' foreign business is exploding?
Yeah, of course.
Do you know what the vehicle of choice of Chinese executives is, according to the Wall Street Journal?
Probably an Impala.
It's a Buick minivan. That is a sign of prestige in China to ride around a Buick minivan. Yeah.
Gary, I want to change subjects for a second and talk a little bit about Good Friday.
Sure.
Happy Good Friday to all Christians listening. This is a day that you honor and recognize in your face, so I want to say happy Good Friday to everyone. Gary, there's an article was in the journal, not in the journal, in the USA Today last Monday by a lady named Barbara Johnson. She's a freelance writer.
Okay.
And she said at a particularly low point in her life, she heard a minister on Good Friday or Easter say this. He said, "We live in a Good Friday world," meaning it's a tough world, it's an evil world, it's a dangerous world. Bad things happen in this world. He says, we live in a Good Friday world, but we're Easter people.
Yes.
Meaning, and what he meant was that we're the kind of people that resurrect ourselves. We renew ourselves. We reinvent ourselves. We rise out of the ashes, so to speak. And he wasn't talking about just Christians. In her article, she's talking about Americans. She says, regardless of whether you're Christian or not, if you're an American, you live in a Good Friday world, but you're an Easter people. What do you think? I got 1 minute.
Jim, that's exactly what we've been doing the last few minutes. We've been providing hope and seeing the hope in things when most of the world is listening to the populist media and reading the paper about there is no future. You and I are providing a future, and that's what Easter is all about, hope for the future.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like a child. If you say to a child, Jim, you have the brightest future, they'll just smile at you and have all the confidence in the world. Say that to an adult American today, and they'll say, but don't you know about the federal debt? Don't you know Social Security is unfunded? Don't you know Medicare is going broke? And we will list all of the reasons why we don't have that hope for the future, Jim.
And the only thing that I could mention that you might agree with me about is I would say, but don't you know we have a Congress? Hey, Gary, give us your website again one more time.
Financialseminary.org, and make sure you check it in this weekend after I post my newsletter today.
You absolutely want to do that. Thanks, Gary, for being here. Good job. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, Jim.
Gary Moore, ladies and gentlemen, he's the best. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll be back on the other side of the news. Don't go away.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.